bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. Welcome to Bicycle Talk, episode 391, to be broadcast on April 17th on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, please feel free to comment. We should be able to get back to you. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, the upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, you can comment right down here below, and we will try to get back to you. Or you can leave me an email at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com, because I know a lot of you are listening on audio file here, too. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. Ron's Rant of the Week. Okay, and in a world where we worry about the inattentive behavior of drivers versus cyclists, this is from this past weekend's Amstel Gold bicycle race. A police officer on a motorbike working on the race was hit by a car. You know, nobody's exempt when no one's paying attention when they're driving their cars. Just a point. It's a rant. I'll move on. And there's more in the show, and I'll explain exactly what happened there and how it altered the race a bit. Anyway, on a positive side, Tom Pidcock finally pulls it off. Where was Matthew Vanderpoel this weekend? The classics. We're not done yet. We still have the Amstel Gold race. Well, actually, no. We just did the Amstel Gold race. We still have La Flèche Wallonne and on April 17th and the Liège-Bastogne-Liège, which is coming up on April 17th. Is that right? I got that backwards. Anyway, doesn't matter. Anyway, we have more racing coming up. We are really, really cool. Oh, I know. The Liège-Bastogne-Liège is April 21st, 2024. So, fun stuff. Couple more classics coming up. We'll see if Matthew comes out of recovery. I don't know what happened, but he didn't finish so well this time. And he's been winning all the classics. Maybe he needed a rest. I understand rest. I get that. So, other thing on the positive side, bicycles in politics. Oh, yeah, we're going there. I talked about that last week, but never got to it. We are going to get to it in this week's show. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Congressional Bike Caucus that happened. We need to meet our new Congressional Bike Caucus Chair, Mike Thompson. Okay. I'll talk about it a little bit more on the show, but there's a lot of good things going on there, and we'll get to it later on in the show. Mechanical Minute and Cycling Tips. 5 tips to start the spring cycling season on a high note. This is from Bicycling Magazine. They always have lots of fun stuff. So I reference them occasionally because of that. And this came out just recently. And it's all about avoid the common pitfalls to keep riding strong and burnout free. Yeah, you know, people burn out when they ride their bikes too much. Can you believe people ride their bikes too much? That's hard to believe, isn't it? Well, anyway, don't go, this is one of my favorites. This is what I call the two disease. Don't go too hard too soon. Get it? Two disease? Yeah. Amping up your training volume significantly overnight can lead to tendonitis and burnout, and you can rob you of your metabolic advantages gained from easier base miles. Okay, crank the intensity slowly while building overall training volume by 10 to 15% per week. The 10% rule, I've talked about this in the past. If you've been listening to me for the number of years that I've been on the air, I'm always talking about the 10% rule. Never increase more than 10%, because when you do, your body will not recover as quickly from it as you would like it to, even though you're so jazzed because the weather is so nice. nice, and I've only got this 1 week of really nice weather, and then it's going to rain next week. You gotta settle out here. Settle out. So 10 to 15% per week is a great way to manage it, and keeping it actually feasible also. So don't miss out on your group rides. Yeah. Use your friends to boost your skills. Because, you know, when you're riding on a group ride, you're riding with friends, you start to remember about how, you know, not to cross a wheel and how to be friendly and kind to one another and how to ride alongside one another and have a nice conversation and actually enjoy the ride. It's kind of a cool thing. So don't forget to make sure that you do your group rides because it helps you with your skills. It's really, really good. Don't do the same old intervals. So if you are training, quote unquote, for riding your bike harder, faster, longer, stronger, then the old school methodology is doing long blocks of tempo or threshold work. They're a little played out. Spring is a time to spice things up a little bit with zone ladders, over-unders, and ramp sets. So what the heck is a zone ladder, an over-under, and a ramp set? Here we go. Ladder workout, you start with 5 minutes at zone three. That's your heart rate right there, or your what I like to call comfortably hard. And 3 minutes at zone four, which is tending to run over that 80% range. So you're getting up there a little bit. And then 1 minute at zone five, and then work your way back down. Whew, those are hard. Those are real hard. Over-unders are, they can be done in many combinations, but try a 12-minute block with three rounds of 3 minutes zone three, 1 minute zone five, 8 minutes rest between sets. So again, pretty hard stuff, but you know, if you've got hills nearby, it's real easy to find it. real easy to find it. You could certainly find a 1 minute climb out there somewhere. And if you're, you know, pushing yourself to zone five, you can just go super hard on that. Remember also when you're doing hills, you got to make sure that you don't attack the bottom of the hill because you'll gas out before you get to the top of the hill. So you want to be careful of that. Ramp sets are just what they sound like. You experiment with the length of time at each zone, beginning with 5 minutes in zone three, 4 minutes at zone four, and 2 minutes in zone five. Again, hard workouts, definitely very hard. But those interval workouts are the ones that really make you a lot stronger, a lot faster. So they make a big difference. And remember, if you're doing that, you want to be sure that you are not doing that every single day, because all of a sudden you take a look and you got this big event coming up in a month and I've got to get myself in shape. No, don't do it that way. Don't do it that way. You got to take a rest day. Got to have a rest day in there. And don't skip cross training. Yeah. Working on your core, maybe some strength workouts, little bit of gym work still. You can still stay in the gym this time of year, even though it's getting nice outside. You can still go to the gym and do your other stuff too and strengthen your core. Maybe do some yoga. Yeah, yoga's good. I've been doing don't listen to Fran in the background. Fran is a twice a day yoga person. So just so you know, she definitely does a lot of yoga. And depending on what level of yoga you do, you can get a lot of core strength out of it.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of a way of you're not only getting core strength, but you're also getting more flexibility because you're getting more stretching and all that. So yoga is, you can do that 2 to 3 times a week. And you can also remember to use your foam roller, and
yes,
you can roll out your tight hamstrings and your glutes and your quads and your ITBNs and your lower backs after you get done riding your bike. Like the foam roller. Hate the foam roller.
I like the foam roller.
That's the way the foam roller works for me. It's a love-hate relationship. But it really does work. It really does. Once you learn to tolerate it and understand that this is a good pain I'm having. Yeah, anyway. And don't forget about fueling. Focus on your healthy eating. big time, big time. Nutrition is most, it's probably often the most overlooked part of your training. You got to have energy to ride longer and or more often. You need fuel to make it happen. That means paying more attention to getting your carbs you need before, during, and after workouts, along with protein to help your body recover and rebuild. Go for simple carbs. Before you hop on the saddle, like a bagel or cereal, and aim for a carb and protein snack or meal after you're done, like a turkey sandwich or, you know, a Greek yogurt and granola. So you can definitely find all these things. So there's your five little tips for getting yourself back out there. And, you know, just write it down somewhere if you need to. Or you can go to Bicycling Magazine and you can check under their training cycling tips article, and this article was by James Herrera on April 11th of 2024, and give you a few very, very positive, timely tips, because it's that time of year. Now, why do I always say it's that time of year? Because we live in the snow belt, okay? And that's a place that we used to get snow, and before climate change happened, and now the snow is further north of us, so we don't get as much snow as we used to get, but we still do get cold, we still do get rainy, and we still do get damp and ugly, and boy, I just don't want to ride my bike in that. So anyway, a lot of people, they either do a lot of their training indoors during the wintertime around here, or if they're not so serious, they do a lot of surfing this time of year. And surfing, of course, is not in the water. Okay, it's on the couch. So I understand that. I just went through an incredibly cool basketball season, and I spend time on the couch when I do that. I also spend time at games if I can go to them, and there's a lot of jumping up and down, so there's a little bit of activity with that. But anyway, you get my drift. It's not bike riding. It's not what you're used to. So anyway, let us move on to the next part of the show, and that is where I am going into the content of the show. Is going to be talking today about advocacy and bicycles and politics, and oh yeah, we're gonna go there. Last week I was planning on bringing this up, but you know, timing is everything, and of course there's a few things that we are going to discuss as far as this goes. First of all, I wanted to go to Great Britain, because they have an all-party parliamentary group for cycling and walking in Great Britain. All right. And their vision is more people cycling and walking in the UK than more often. The mission is to use their role as parliamentarians to promote all forms of cycling and walking. The values as an all-party group of parliamentarians, we will work through the representatives and organizations in the private, public, and third sectors that share our vision. Objectives to review research evidence, and current best practice, the extent and success of implementation and potential developments that encourage cycling, and to develop recommendations resulting in changes to government policy and practice at a national and local government level based on the findings. Yay, Great Britain. Very good, very good. So I had to bring them up because, you know, they're taking a very aggressive approach towards this, and they've got some positive things that they're working on. And the reason I'm using this is because it's a lead-in to something that we are doing here in the United States. And it is the Congressional Bike Caucus. It's a bipartisan caucus. Big, strong word here, bipartisan. Remember that? That's when people used to work together. You remember that, right? yeah. It still happens. It really does. So this is a bipartisan caucus of the United States House of Representatives, launched by Representative Earl Blumenthal. Blumenauer. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's officially registered with the committee on the on House Administration, the House Committee responsible for regulating caucuses. The caucus aims to promote cycling by improving infrastructure and increasing awareness of cyclists. As of 2023, the caucus has 107 members. The co-chairs of the caucus are Representatives Earl Blumenauer and Vern Buchanan and Ayanna Pressley. All right. So that's what's going on there. So we actually have something here in the United States, and I wanted to bring this up. Why did I want to bring all this up? Because if you go to this week's, actually today's Streets blog, you will find a lovely article here called The Bike is the Cure. Meet new Congressional Bike Caucus Chair Mike Thompson. Okay, this is the he is the new incoming co-chair of Congressional Bike Caucus, and he's we're going to explore a little bit about how he's getting other legislators riding. Great idea, right? So as I've often said, you know, if you really want to get the attention of your local legislators and your local public, the best way to do it is to take them for a short ride. And if you can do this, my presentation, when I make presentations in front of local governments, is most of the people that are sitting in this room see everything from behind the windshield of a car. Or truck. I see everything from the handlebars of my bicycle. Let me show you my way. If you have the fortune to be able to get one or two of your local community members that make big decisions like this and put them on a bicycle and just run them through a number of different intersections and show them how it looks from the bike handlebar, their world will open up. They have no idea what we are dealing with out there. They have no idea what it's like to have a car whizzing by you at 60 miles per hour. They have no idea what it's like to be sitting at a stoplight in a perfectly good position and legal position on your bike and having someone honk the horn behind you because you're in their way. The light is red, by the way. The light is red. Remember that. They can't go any further forward than the amount of space that your bicycle is taking up in that lane. But because you are in front of them, they are just completely upset. And that's got to end. That's just got to end. You know, that's a huge problem and it needs to be addressed. And the best way to do it is to bring some local bureaucrats out for a little bike ride. And I encourage this because we have a ride of silence coming up here in stores on May 15th. I think it is 15th. Anyway, I'll talk about that at the end of the show. And because I've been repeating that every week. And it's a great time to invite your local council members out for a ride so they get to see exactly what it's like to ride on the streets where there are cars. And, you know, the ride of silence is pretty safe because we have a police escort and we have the Yukon Police Department doing all the hard work, stopping the traffic, making sure that we can safely get through. But it really does enlighten people as to what's going on. Matter of fact, you know what? I am going to talk with my local Bike Mansfield group here about inviting the town council for the ride of silence. That's a great idea. See, good ideas come from this show. It's a good thing. So here we go. Here we have a little talk here about the Mike Thompson. I'm sorry. So he's gotten a few more than his more than a few of his fellow legislators to see what the world looks like behind a set of handlebars. Once again, as I was talking before, you want to get people on the bikes behind a set of handlebars so they get to really see it, get to really feel it and envision it and hear it, you know, hear the noises around you. And, you know, it just, it changes it when you're in that environment. So, this gentleman is a wine country native that fell in love with the bicycle as a sport and as a means to get around and a powerful policy tool, which why he doesn't consider himself a cyclist despite a lifetime spent in the saddle and how he hopes to build on Blumenauer's legacy. So he doesn't want to mislead anyone and tell you that he's a cyclist, okay? But he's a bicycle enthusiast. That's a good thing, okay? He's been riding a bike for a long time. He started out when he was a kid. And hi, Fran.
Hi.
And when he was, it was his first experience of freedom, as it is for a lot of us, right? We get on a bike and all of a sudden we have this wonderful feeling of freedom and you know, independence, which is really cool. So we allowed him to get around a little town where he grew up and he lived on his bicycle. That sounds just like me. That's exactly what happened with me. It's the way I got around town. We didn't have mom in the minivan available. Mom was working part-time and dad was working full-time. And if I needed to go anywhere, I just rode my bike. And I would, you know, ride across town, which wasn't very far. It was only 4 or 5 miles. But I could ride across town. I could visit my friends and I could ride back home. And it just gave me that ability to have a vehicle of which to transport myself.
It was like in Stranger Things.
In a timely manner. So like in Stranger Things. Yeah, whatever happened to Stranger Things? We stopped watching that. We should start watching that again.
Start watching it again.
Yeah, we should. You should. It's interesting. So anyway, he also has cycled as an adult for decades. He's done bike touring. He's ridden century rides, metric century rides. And he does do recreational riding all the time. This guy's a cyclist. I don't care what he says. He definitely falls into what I would say as not an occasional bicycle enthusiast. This man is a cyclist. He likes to ride his bike. So this is a good thing. And this is a good thing because he gets it. He gets it. And he can then deliver his message a lot better. He's been a member of the Bicycle Caucus in Congress since he came to Congress, which was in 1999. He's been trying to promote cycling on the Hill, and it's become very, very popular. He started a biking group during COVID where they would ride before work, and then he expanded that to pick up various community members. We've had rides where we were joined by the Secretary of Transportation, U.S. Senators, House members, various staffers, and bureaucrats from across the campus here on Capitol Hill. And hopefully, with the weather breaking, we'll be able to get back to our morning rides again. I like this guy. This guy's got it going on. He's, you know, he's kind of doing a kind of a Pedal and Ron thing. I like that. And a Pedal and Fran, too. She's in the background here. Pedal and Fran was out this past weekend, and she was riding her bike with the Thread City Cyclers. Yep. And so she led a little bike ride, and they stopped at a nice little cafe down in Franklin, Connecticut, and got some treats, and then rode back home. Really good treats. Yeah. Well, we don't go to places that don't have really good treats, right? So he says here, anything we can do to promote cycling, I think we should be doing. He says he's on the tax committee, and he had the honor of serving on that committee with his good friend and colleague, Earl Blumenauer, who started the Bicycle Caucus and asked him to assume the caucus chairmanship after he leaves Congress. And he says those are really big shoes to fill, and I'm not going to let him just escape. I look forward to working with him to contribute to grow the caucus, to continue work on good public policy that will make it easier for the people to ride their bikes safely and make it easier for communities to provide safe cycling areas to both create a healthier and happier community. I say often, here it is, I believe the bike is the cure. I have to meet this guy. Where else can you exercise, get fresh air, see beautiful scenery, and reduce our carbon footprint. A point well made. I need to meet this guy. I think I'm going to have to figure out a way to drop him a note and see if I can talk with him. It sounds like my kind of guy. You know, I'm not buying into the not a cyclist, by the way. He rides his bike enough to qualify for that. If you do a century ride, you're a cyclist. Okay, that's kind of like the if you've done that, that's a major inauguration to the cycling world, to be able to ride your bicycle 100 miles. That's not an easy thing to do, or 62 miles, 100K. Those are major events. Kind of like what's going on here today, because it's Patriots Day here in the Northeast, otherwise known as Boston Marathon Day. That's a day that you get to take off from work and bring massive amounts of alcohol out to the city streets of Boston and yell and scream for the runners that are running by you when they're competing in the marathon. And yes, it is a big celebrated event, and it usually ends up with also stumbling into Fenway Park afterwards and watching a Boston Red Sox game, and it's Patriots Day. It's the whole state of Massachusetts takes a day off. It's very interesting. But anyway, moving on. We're in the bicycle world here right now. So he says that bicycling for him is a real release. It's how he gets his exercise, and it gives him an opportunity to ride with other people, to talk to constituents, and experience the beauty of the outdoors. And I think that once my colleagues experience any part of that, they have a better understanding of how important cycling is. You know, they are, a few years ago, I remember hearing the corporate types, corporate America types, talking about how, you know, golf was getting to be not as popular because they brought so many different people into the executive world, and that cycling was becoming the new golf. Because, again, it's bonding. It's you work together to stay together, to help each other. It's a different type of corporate venture. Instead of going out on a golf course and driving around in a little cart and chasing a little ball around, but that's my opinion. I know people who love golf. I'm just not old enough for it yet. I haven't gotten there, but maybe someday. Anyway, so it's a release, and a lot of people think, he says it right here, bicycling is for kids, the bicycle is for people, and the bicycle is for our planet, and we can do a lot more understanding the significance of the bicycle in regard to proper planning, in regard to environmental protections, as well as this he had mentioned a couple of times in regard to the reduction of our carbon footprint. This guy has got it together. He's, this is my kind of legislator. I think this. He says e-bikes are very, very important for a whole bunch of reasons. For one, there are some people for whom being able to ride an e-bike will help them get exercise that they wouldn't ordinarily get. It provides access to a healthy, safe sport for people otherwise who wouldn't be able to do that. And they may not even be able to go on long walks, but e-bikes empower them to get around. Yeah, there's lots of people that have knee issues and hip issues, and maybe it's from, you know, past life events, maybe a sporting event, maybe a car crash or something like that, and you know they have a lot harder time getting around. You get them on an e-bike, and they've gotten that mobility back, that feeling that you had. And you know, if you have a comment on this, I'd love to hear it. What was that feeling you had when you first put yourself on a bicycle? We used to ask our guests that when we had guests up at the radio station. Now we broadcast out of our homes, so it's a little bit different. But anyway, what is that initial feel? Do you remember that first day that you got on a bike and you took it out for a ride, and the overwhelming feeling of goodness that you had from it? I do. I'll never forget it, and I will always feel that when I'm out there. So he thinks that e-bikes are very good, and he knows that a lot of people use e-bikes to commute, which is true. Here in Washington, he can look right out his office window and onto the street and sees nonstop cyclists. DC is doing a lot of good things for cycling right now. And so many of them are on e-bikes. There'll be a mother, a mom and a dad, two kids on an e-bike. And he says, I see them coming and going to the grocery store. It makes sense to expand the number of e-bikes that are out there. And he says he's hopeful that he'll be able to get a tax credit that will allow people to a little bit of a break to buy them. There are tax credits out there in certain states. I think it's just regional right now. But we had such a success with the tax cut that we did through Energy CT here that I think the window was only open for about a day before all the credits were used, all the claims were made against them. So there, you know, an expansion of that would be great, and a bike tax credit would be like 30%, which is very similar to doing heating cooling improvements at your home, or putting solar on your home, or doing, you know, energy upgrades. That it's the same basic idea. 30% tax credit is a 30% tax credit, and that certainly does help. So if you do pay the IRS taxes, by the way, it's tax day also. I forgot to mention that too. It's April 15th. So anyway, yeah, these are the types of things that might give people just that little extra push. Well, I can't really afford a bicycle like that. Well, what if 30% of it was used against your federal taxes? And now you get some money back from your federal taxes that you've already paid in, and you can use that 30% to help fund the bike that you just bought. There's a lot of good stuff here if we would just get it all going. And there is an e-bike share act that would provide $100 million worth of grants per year for 10 years to help local governments facilitate their bike share concept. There's a legislation that would make micro-mobility charging more available, which is a very, very important thing. And then there's a good old-fashioned transportation policy and infrastructure policy with more safe roads to everything we can provide, and safe routes to everything we can provide. The more we'll provide opportunities for people to be able to get out and ride, you know, and that's it. If all of a sudden you're town, city, or local, whatever it is, wherever you live, has some designated pathways, we'll call them right now, that are car-free, that make it easy for you to get down to the grocery store or go to the post office, or people still go to the post office? I think they do. Or go to your local bank or whatever, and you can just do it on your bicycle. Once it becomes safe, it becomes much more doable, much more understandable. So yeah, infrastructure is huge. So it says here, there was a question asked. I have to ask the election year question. What would the outcome of the next presidential election mean for American cyclists? Okay, here we go. You ready? President Biden has shown that he is a bike rider, and he understands the value and the importance of that, and the policies that he has pushed and signed into law, most notably the $1.2 trillion investment in our infrastructure, provide a lot of opportunities for the cycling community and for state and local governments to access funding that will make cycling more available to folks. So he's a friend. He's a friend that would be good for the cycling community, good for the environmental community, and good for the transportation opportunities of America. So that's the take right now. The current administration is very, very behind us as cyclists. If you think of us as being a group of people that are getting good things out of our government, that is a good thing. We've got Pete Buttigieg, who is the director of the Department of Transportation, and you know, he is an avid cycling enthusiast. He spent some time over in Copenhagen, I think, or Amsterdam, maybe both, with a bunch of mayors from the United States. And they went over to take a look and see how they were doing it over there. How is it that they could have 70% of their transportation being provided by bicycles versus being provided by single occupancy automobiles? And he came back enlightened, as many of the mayors did that came back. And once they saw exactly how it all worked and the much more active communities that were evolving around the bicycle, because it was so much easier with the bicycle than to have to sit in traffic to get to somewhere where maybe you wanted to sit down and have lunch or whatever, you just ride your bike right up there. It's no problem. The parking issue isn't a problem. The congestion issue isn't a problem. And all the businesses that were serving people that were riding their bicycles were all thriving really, really well. This is the way you build your infrastructure. This is the way you build your strength of your country. And also, on top of all that, the side benefits of the health and well-being of people, I can't talk about this enough, which is why I'll be on next week probably talking about it again, because this is very, very important stuff. So we have a friend in Washington, is what I'm trying to say. This is a good thing. We've got some really positive things happening. And I've talked about this before, about, you know, our time has come and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I go through the whole explanation at the end of the show. And this is why things matter. Okay, people on bikes can come together as advocates no matter why they ride. It's all true. Okay, it really is a phenomenon that is very I guess I can say it's somewhat infectious, because once you start on the bike and once you start riding your bike back and forth and doing things, I just did a little bit of commuting last week, not this past weekend, the weekend before, went to the grocery store and actually parked my car in town so that I could put it on a charger. And I then ran errands while it was charging, ran my groceries home, and unloaded all my groceries that I had purchased. I probably had about 30, 35 pounds of weight on the bicycle, and got rid of all the groceries. And then later on in the day, I rode back into town and picked up my car. So, you know, it's just, and there's something about that, you know, I remember last year I'd spent a lot more time and a lot more focus on making sure that I rode my bike at least one day a week, that I was going to be using it for basic transportation and or, you know, picking up things, running errands, that sort of thing, and trying to just avoid getting in the car altogether. And, you know, you just feel better when you do it. It takes a little bit more planning. Yeah, you got to think about that a little bit more. But then once you do it, it's just such an empowering feeling when you get out there and you ride your bike and you find that you can do everything you wanted to do, everything you needed to do on the bicycle. It's a very cool thing. I'm looking forward to getting my health back, because right now my health is a little on the edge as far as that goes. And so riding up to the community center to teach my classes is out of the question at the moment, but eventually that will get better and I will be able to experience that again, because I was doing that probably 2 or 3 days a week. I was riding up to the community center, teaching a class, riding back home. So I'd have an hour on the bike between going up there and coming back, and then I have another hour on the bike in the teaching the fitness class. And it was great. I was in great shape. Everything felt good. And there's, once again, there's just this incredible sense of accomplishment when you do this. It just makes you feel so, so good. Sigh. Okay. So, anyway, it's gonna happen again. It's gonna happen soon. I am still fighting with a body response to a pharmaceutical that was being used to control my cholesterol due to my heart issues that I had over the last couple of years. And I am hopefully detoxing from that and will get back to the point where I feel strong and get out ride my bike on a regular basis. But I couldn't even lead the ride this weekend. Fran led the ride because I have no power. I have nothing at all. And I'm not going to take a perfectly good bicycle out for a walk. I'm just not going to do it.
That's kind of sad, but also funny.
It's sad and funny, at the same time. But, and you know, someone said something to me in spin class about that a couple of days ago. And they said something, oh, man, I got that at one point, and I had to walk. And I said, oh, you should never, ever take a perfectly good bicycle out for a walk.
Do you see that you have a question? But
I have a question. I do not see that I have a question. I will look.
And I'll ask you.
There are credits for bikes. Let's see. Okay. Joe says, why would there be tax credits for non-e-bikes that
don't create any emissions?
Well, there should be tax credits for non-e-bikes. That's a very, very good question. And, you know, they're willing to give it to an e-bike, but they're not willing to give it to a regular bicycle. That's a very good point. And that is something that, you know, that should be brought up, because the e-bike is, as it is, has a carbon footprint. There's a footprint behind it, because there's a battery involved, and it's a different level of manufacturing involved, and it is not as simple as the regular bicycle is. Joe, you make a great point. You really do. Maybe we should start trying to figure out a way to bring that up. That would be something I would highly encourage you to talk to your local representatives, town figures, whatever. I think you really got to go to the state level on this and talk with them about it. The Transportation Commission would be a great place to go for that. Even going federally to Transportation Commission on that. If you're buying a bicycle and you're using it for your transportation and your way of getting around, why are you not given a tax credit for it? Because you are, for all these new technologies that are out there. You know, the cars, the bikes, all the scooters even, I think, have tax credits. I don't even get me started on scooters. I don't like going down that road because it's a very slippery slope, and it'll boil my blood, and I'm not into boiling blood these days.
Out to Joe. He's listening.
Why don't you come over here and talk to me close to the mic, and then we can.
So shout out to Joe. He's listening from Sarasota, Florida. He's a member of the Great Gulf Coast Velo.
Oh, he's
club.
One of those guys.
Yes.
All right. Hey, yes. All right. Yeah, we haven't seen those guys in a while. We haven't been down there in a while.
They always listen.
But they do listen in. Yes. That's a really good thing. Yep. And, you know, But you know, that really does bring. I'm going to do some research on that, Joe, because this is kind of this is intriguing that we would have a tax credit for an e-bike and not have a tax credit for a regular bike. And I can see where it's going to open a huge can of worms, because there are going to be people that are saying, "Oh, you know, you're going to let kids get tax credits on their bicycle." No, we're not talking kids. We're talking about taxpayers, all right? Kids are not taxpayers. The parents are taxpayers, but this is an entirely different thing. And if you are using it for transportation, if you are legitimately using it for transportation, why don't you get a tax credit on it? Now, if it's your recreational activity and, you know, yeah, you should get a health care benefit from it. Well, you do actually get a health care benefit from it physically yourself, but maybe there should be some sort of a tax credit there too. What the problem here is, just so you know, is we got the whole thing backwards. Everything is just going backwards right now. And in order to go forward, we need to totally change the way people think about bicycles. And that is why I'm here. I'm looking up here to see if I have that book. I think I left it downstairs. I have a book that was written a number of years ago, which explains how the bicycle could completely change the world in so many ways. And yeah, why not tax credits for bicycles? You know, and why not tax penalties for internal combustion engine cars? There's an idea. That'll go a long way. Like I said, the can of worms that you open becomes like enormous and very, very involved. And so, you know, but yeah, you make mention of it. It's really, really good. We're going to explore that. I like that. Hold that thought, Joe. We're going to come back to that maybe in another week or two and see what we can do about, you know, drumming up some really strong arguments for tax credits on a perfectly good working commuting bicycle. I like it. I like it a lot. Good one. Okay, I'll get back to it next week. I'll do that. But right now, I got to continue to go on forward with what I had written down here today that I wanted to talk about. And I'm going to switch gears now from the my advocacy hat, and I'm going to put on my bicycle cap, my cycling racing cap, because we got to talk a little bit about what's going on in the world cycling racing world. And this past weekend was the Amstel Gold weekend. I was telling everyone it was the Bastion Liège Bastion, and I was completely wrong, but I get confused. You know, I'm old. It happens. So anyway, that one's coming up. We'll get to that one. But the Amstel Gold was this weekend. It's one of the many classics that we have, the monument races, as they call them. And it was this past weekend, and it kicked off Sunday. And the top racers from around the world moved from the Belgian and French cobbles and into the Netherlands, where the women race first, with the men coming next. So I'm going to start with the women. After over an hour of racing on Sunday morning, the peloton was halted to allow an ambulance and police cars to pass the race to attend to an incident. According to a tweet from the Limburg Police Department, a police officer on a motorbike, goes back to the rant, remember? on a motorbike working on the race, was hit by a car and at about 11 a.m., and he was taken to the hospital, and police had closed off the road, the third climb on the women's route, for an investigation. So that brought the race to a stop. Yeah, stopped the race, all right, and they were stopped at 11:10, and they remained stopped until noontime, when with reports that the delay could last an hour, and as the emergency services dealt with the incident and cleared the road. So anyway, what happens then? Well, it's a schedule, you know. You got the women's races going first, and then the men's races going after, and there's like all this scheduling and all this road closures and things that they got to do to put on a good bike race and do it safely. And so they had to alter the finish. So the women's race had a thrilling finish, but they did have to shorten the race a little bit. And here's where I address the boys and girls that are getting into bicycle racing. This is a very, very important lesson learned. So, Lorena Wiebes, she looked like she had the race won. They're coming into a finishing sprint. She started her celebration too early, and because she did, Mariana Vos snuck in and took the win at the line. Yeah, don't celebrate too early before you cross the finish line. Guess what? There might be somebody sitting on your wheel, and the rest is history. It's the first person across the line, not the first person to say, "I won this race." Oops. That's a big oops. That's a really big oops. So I'm going to move on over to the men's side. On the men's side, Tom Pidcock emerged victorious, winning a sprint finish from a group of breakaway riders. If you got a chance to watch this, it's really interesting because First of all, the one major point of interest is, where was Matthew Vanderpoel? Matthew Vanderpoel was non-existent. He kind of like slipped back in the pack, and he finished like 22nd or something like that. So quite a ways back, 22nd or 24th. Anyway, the attacks were up front. Ineos was attacking. UAE was attacking. There were all sorts of great things going on. The Visma crowd was there. They were attacking. There were all sorts of great rides going off the front. And there were these little micro breakaways followed by another micro breakaway. And it was just back and forth. And it was very exciting. It was very, very exciting. There is I think I just read something yesterday as I was watching it that there is like a 22 or 24% climb in the Amstel Gold Race, which makes it kind of blows me away because it's the Netherlands. It's not generally hilly in the Netherlands, I don't think, unless I'm missing something. And obviously I am, because there were definitely hills in this race. There were definitely some hills. But one of the climbs, not very long, was at a over 20% grade. So that's kind of an interesting thing. So we move on to the Pidcock session, and he outsprinted Mark Hirschi by inches to win the Amstel Gold and right the wrongs of 2021. If you remember 2021, if you are a bicycle racing enthusiast, there was a photo finish at the end of that race, and there was a lot of discussion as to where the finish line was and who really won the race. And Pidcock thought he had won the race, and a lot of people thought he had won the race, and then he didn't win the race, and it was, you know, it was kind of a thing that happened back then. So after he lost to Matthew Vanderpoel on that one. Pidcock found himself in a group of 12 riders off the front of the race on this one with 30K to go. And it was 12 riders made up of 11 teams. Wow, talk about a bipartisan team. And a bipartisan breakaway. Anyway, it contributed to a disjointed chase from the peloton behind, despite the gap to the front never reaching a minute. Vanderpoel wasn't even in that selection, finding himself isolated when the attack started flying and refused to pull the whole bunch back after the winning of the Tour of Flanders and the Paris-Roubaix. Yeah, his legs are cooked. You know what? You can get tired doing this stuff. It's not easy week after week after week to win all the races. So anyway, Pidcock eventually went clear, and he went with Mark Hirsch of UAE Team Emirates and Tez Benoit from Visa Lisa Bike and Maury Vansevant from Soudal Quickstep, and who sacrificed himself in the final kilometer to ensure a top four finish while out of contention for the win. Benoit was the first to open the sprint, but Pidcock timed his run perfectly, sneaking through on the inside and just about holding off Mark Hirschi to record Ineos Grenadiers' first major one-day win of the season. Now, if you watched it, there was a group of four, and they were obviously away, but there was no cat and dog were screwing around with this, because I'm waiting for you to go before you go and all that, because then there was a group of five right behind them and they were closing in on them fast. So there was no backing off, and it was exciting because I thought that group of five was going to catch them. It was that close. So it's kind of cool. It's very exciting. It's bike racing. I like bike racing. It's fun to watch. Anyway, it was a big weekend. It's definitely a big weekend. And there's two more to go. So we've got more coming up in the near future here. So I think I'd mentioned that earlier here, April 17th, which is a Wednesday, and which is kind of interesting for the Flèche Wallonne. And then the Liège Bastogne Liège is on the weekend. It's a Sunday, April 21st, coming up. So lots of cool stuff coming if you like your bike racing stuff. And if you can't catch it all, you can always catch one of those YouTube, roundup type things where they go through the You know, they kind of condense it all so that you can still watch it if you don't have a Flow Bikes or membership or something like that. So because sometimes those can get expensive. But anyway, Wild Weekend, really good stuff. I'm going on to events here. We're going to talk a little bit more about what's going on. Our local Thread City Cycler rides have started, and they are usually on Saturdays from the North Windham School, but we've had some weather issues, as we do in the spring. So I know a lot of the rides ended up going off on Sunday to take advantage of a little bit warmer day and supposedly a drier day that wasn't really much drier, but that's beside the point. Anyway, there were spotty showers all day yesterday, which was kind of interesting and too bad. But you know what? If you get wet when it's warm versus getting wet when you're cold, I'd rather get wet when I'm warm. And so anyway, they have started. The Sea Otter Classic starts April 18th through the 21st in Monterey, California. Big deal. If you're in California and you've never been to that, you should definitely go to that. If you're going to California, you've never been to that, it's definitely a cool thing to go to. It's a big festival. It's a lot of fun. And the Made Show, which is a hand-built show, will be in Australia for the first time, the 28th and the 29th, at the Darebin International Sports Center in Thornbury, Victoria, near Melbourne. And the Made Show here in the United States will be August 23rd through the 25th in Portland, Oregon. Domestic Events, a company that I work directly with, and shout out to Richard Fries and company, has a Lime Rock Classic, the Lime Rock Epic, actually coming up in the fall, and that'll be from Lime Rock Race Park, and that will be another gravel grinder of major significance. The Ride of Silence is Wednesday, May 15th, rain or shine, and it's at 7 p.m. As far as a rollout goes, it's at 10 South Eagleville Road in Storrs, Connecticut. We're already gearing up to get a much bigger crowd this year than we've had in the past. We have overflow parking next door at E.O. Smith High School if we need it, so we're good there. It's just a 3.5 mile loop. It's a quiet protest is basically what it is, and it's a being escorted and monitored by the UConn Police Department. The max speed is 10 to 12 miles per hour. Helmets are required, and it is a kid-friendly event, so, and also a legislator-friendly event. So invite your local politicians to join you and get them to experience this. The Ride the East is on June 8th, 2024, and it starts at the Gilson House Museum right here in downtown Willimantic, and that is at 7:30 p.m. a.m. on June 8th, and you get to explore the scenic airline trail with the East Coast Greenway Alliance and Trust for Public Land. So there's a 48-mile ride and an 18-mile ride on the Airline Trail State Park. And anyway, it's sponsored by the East Coast Greenway Alliance and Trust for Public Land. So if you haven't ever ridden on the Airline Trail, do yourself a favor. It's a treat. It's really, really nice. The 2024 Steeplechase Ride and Walk is Saturday, August 17th. We have road rides, including a 20, a 35, and a 62-mile ride. There's a 5-mile fundraising walk, and in addition to last year's 18-mile gravel ride, there'll be an additional 40-mile gravel route available. 90% dirt roads, folks. So pretty cool stuff. I know gravel is hot right now. Project Mayhem Cyclocross Series is coming up this fall. Stay tuned. I'll let you know more about that as we get closer. So, the classics. What do you think? Bicycle legislation. I told you our time's coming. Told you this. And 5 tips to start spring cycling on a high note. You know, little tips get you going. Give you a little inspiration here, a little motivation. Get going. Ride, so 2024, more miles, ride to commute to work or around town, better fitness, or simply enjoying bicycle rides you take more by slowing down and smelling the roses. I'm going to say it again. It won't be my last time. You got to get loud, get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, and the lack of places to safely ride, and join the revolution of change. Hey, Take a day and park that car or truck. Ride your bicycle instead. You might just surprise yourself. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of the station. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, feel free to comment, or you can just send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. To listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk, whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on the Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. If you'd like to contribute information, drop me an email. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next week.
Get on your bikes and ride!